tap to succeed Pompeo at the CIA. The Intercept reports Gina Haspel was directly involved in the CIA's torture program under George W. Bush. She was responsible for running a secret CIA black site in Thailand where prisoners were waterboarded and tortured. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
ABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of an evening of cowboy music and poetry Friday, March 16th at 7:30 p.m. at Reedwood Friends Church in Portland. The Portland Folk Music Society March Concert features the Hanson Family and Tom Swearingen. The Hanson Family plays Western Swing with yodeling mastery and blazing harmony combined with humor and audience participation. Opening will be Tom Swearingen, an Oregon horseman who tells stories of the people and land of the American West through original cowboy poetry. Again, that's the March installment of the Portland Folk Music Society's concert series presenting an evening of cowboy music and poetry, Friday, March 16th at 7:30 p.m. at Reedwood Friends Church, 2901 Southeast Steele Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Varsity Cheerleader Werewolves Live from Outer Space, the musical, showing March 16th through March 31st on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at the Chapel Theater in Milwaukee, Oregon. Varsity Cheerleader Werewolves Live from Outer Space is an original comedy musical featuring cheerleaders, rebellious youth, evil aliens, puppets, and fueled by the songs of the 80s. Again, that's Varsity Cheerleader Werewolves Live from Outer Space, the musical, showing March 16th through March 31st on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at the Chapel Theater, 4107 Southeast Harrison Street in Milwaukee, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's morning.
It is.
It's sort of drizzly.
Sort of drizzly, but it was what a beautiful weekend.
It was a great weekend.
It's that first little taste of springtime.
Well, just a kind of little four spice.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Your first spoonful of pollen. Itchy eyes.
And don't forget the smoke and the toxic.
And burning tires.
Burning
Welcome
tires.
To springtime in Portland.
Burning tires. Yay.
All right, I'm Abe. That's Joe. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial.
They don't have dials anymore.
On your radio display?
Yes.
How's that?
That's fine.
Okay, on your internet tube?
Yeah.
It's kboo.fm. 503-231-8187 is the number to call to take part in today's conversation, which is going to be a little different than typical.
Yeah.
What we're going to do today is we are going to let you, the listeners, set the agenda, such as it is.
As it were. Sort of.
Kind
of. Agenda.
Yeah.
We will not have racism, sexism, ageism, or any of the other isms.
No, we will have no ad hominem attacks.
No. Well, yeah. You know, kind of. And ad hominem attacks on Trump is okay.
Okay, you got a little wiggle room on the ad hominem attacks.
Yeah, a little.
And Joe and I reserve the right to terminate a conversation for whatever reason we please at any time.
Yeah, because we're randomly cruel. 231-8187 is the number to call.
Yes. So, we got into a little bit of the ground rules there. I think you know pretty much how this works. Be smart. Be concise. Keep it tight. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah, those are good rules. But I want to point out to people the most effective way to participate in talk radio is to have your idea or thinking or evidence at hand and to make it, as you say, concise. 2 minutes or 3 minutes is much more effective than 7 minutes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier, you know, if you tend to get wander off topic, we're going to try to get you back on topic. But if you can't get there, we're going to move along.
And if we can't tell what the topic is, well.
Indeed. Yeah, so it helps to organize your thoughts ahead of time. Maybe write down a few notes. If you have a piece of reporting, for example, that you want to cite, have that ready at hand. Because we don't want to, you know, wait here while you look something up.
I do. I have.
You have something to cite?
I have something to report.
What is that?
Well, in his interview with NBC, Putin blamed the Jews.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we're back to that.
For what?
For
everything?
Well, kind of. for the possibility of the Soviet, or pardon me, Russian, God, I'm so old, the Russian interference in the election. And the Republicans say, well, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to throw that out.
We also had the firing of Secretary of State this morning.
Oh, we did?
Yes. You didn't hear about this?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Tillerson was fired in the midst of his trip to Africa.
Why?
We don't know.
I mean, he represents capitalism at its worst.
Get this. He put out a statement in which he said he had not spoken to the president, so he did not know the reasons behind his dismissal.
He's pissed.
Yeah, this is weird. This is
weird.
Well,
weird. Right. What's the edge of weird?
But it is not our show today.
No.
503-231-8187. If you want to write in, you can do that. Facebook.com/Abe and Joe or on the Twitter machine at HonestAbe72. Tyler writes in to say, top 10 Kiss songs all episode long. Well, we're not going to do that, Tyler, because there's only one top Kiss song. That's I Was Made for Loving You, Baby. All the rest come after that. So we're going to
What? Kiss?
Kiss.
I hate Kiss.
Okay, there you have it.
All right.
Molly is standing by. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm first up, and I'm sure those directions were meant for me, but I'll keep it very brief. I'm going back a couple of weeks. I had a 9 o'clock appointment, and I wasn't able to call in about the abundant foods issue.
Yes. Oh, yes. The big boxes of old food. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, and all that horrible Velveeta cheese and everything. And I just wanted to bring up Steinbeck's Tortilla Flat, where the whole book was based around the beans that had they didn't have a bean crop due to mold or rain, or it was too dry or something, and so they got the abundant food, you know, cheese and everything, which turned out all the children got sick and everything, and so the whole group of town, the village of guys rallied around and got a big bag of beans for the woman and her children in that village, the woman of the night or whatever she was, but anyway, and all the children then got better, and everyone was just very healthy and great after having the beans. So I just want to put in a thing for rice and beans and basic foods like that can be given, and I also want to give a shout out to Putin Smootin. The Jews are God's chosen people.
Okay.
That's
right.
What I learned in my history class.
Yeah, well, you know.
The history of the world. Well, anyway, that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you for the call. I have to say, beans, the musical fruit, the more you eat, the more you toot. Remember that?
Have we already descended this far?
Oh, yeah.
We're just
this was a fast plunge.
Oh, okay. All right. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. It's weird, isn't it, to fire a cabinet member without talking to that cabinet member
first? Nothing Trump does is weird. It's beyond weird. It's psychotic.
Yeah, it pretty
much
is.
I mean, you really have to understand that this is... Okay, this is a guy who has a relationship with a porn actress and then forgets to sign the agreement that she's not going to talk about it. So she talks about it. She's got a vicious... competent lawyer, and Trump is kind of caught in the headlights of his own lust, and nobody seems to notice that. The evangelicals are willing to forgive him for that or any other sin that he commits. We have DeVos, who is running the education department and never goes to a school to see what's going on. Only operates on a theoretical level, which basically is take the money from the public sector, give it to the private sector, and let it run the schools. I mean, that's all weird. And
weird.
All of it is so weird, and yet apparently most people are going, oh, yeah. I guess most people always go, yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Depressing.
It is depressing. Also, we have what may be a historical first floating out there in the internet.
What's that?
Certain still images of the president.
Of the president?
Yeah.
Doing?
No. Certain still images of certain presidential parts.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you talking about his bag of tricks?
I'm not sure what that means. Quite possibly, yeah. Quite possibly.
Yeah,
apparently.
Well, they said the devil has a forked tongue.
Oh, God. We need callers to rescue us now. Right now. Who's next, Ray?
I'm sorry. I got to be careful because I'm beginning to feel like absurdity is the order of the day.
I kind of is. Juan, you're next. Thank you. Good morning.
Hey, guys. So with Stormy Daniels. Somebody said that he is like David Dennison or something is the name on the contract.
Yeah, right. The fake name for Trump.
And somebody, I don't remember who it was, said at least he could have gotten a good porn name in there, you know. But anyway,
he could have called himself John Lovelace. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, the contract, it is actually a contract, because if she took the money and didn't have any changes to the contract, even if he didn't sign it, it's a contract, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know law, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know law either, but I had a situation similar to that, and the reason I was not bound by a contract was because no money had changed hands. So anyway, the whole thing with Tillerson, did you see who was made head of the CIA?
Yeah.
The head of the CIA went to state.
Mm-hmm.
And then the woman who was in charge of the torture operation under Bush is the head of the CIA.
Is that right?
I think that's what I heard. Yeah.
It was whoever the deputy CIA chief was. That person has been promoted. I don't know who occupies that post.
We got to keep track. It's hard to keep track of the constant flow of people being fired or quitting or whatever. And I have to add this. We now have, according to the New York Times, evidence that the U.S. government at Guantanamo planted microphones in the interview rooms of the lawyers defending the people who are accused of terrible crimes and are locked up at Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so, you know, everything is...
Was that now, or was that...
Oh, no, I'd say it's current. Current news.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Well, that's all I had.
Well, thanks for the call, man.
The whole Stormy Daniels thing is just the icing on the cake.
Well, it should be, and normally would be, extremely trivial, but it's so consistent with the bizarre behavior of the forked you-know-what. Okay, let's...
non-cherry on top, guys.
I got it. Okay, 231-8187, we're letting you lead the way.
All right, so the woman who's taken over at CIA,
yeah.
She was the deputy chief. Her name is Gina Haspel.
Yes.
Haspel. She, of course, faces confirmation from the Senate, which will almost surely come for her.
Oh, yeah.
She ran one of the so-called black site CIA prisons in Thailand.
In Thailand
in 2002.
The land site, of the weird, yes, wrestling. Go
this
ahead.
The site was codenamed Cat's Eye and held suspected al-Qaeda members Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri and Abu Zubaydah for a time. So she has faced some criticism since then. For some of the practices undertaken at that facility, and
really like
others
torture?
That she was in charge of, yes.
like torture. Ah, yes. Yeah.
Just gets better and better.
Oh yeah.
503-231-8187. It's listener day.
And how low? Here's
the
question.
Show. What?
How low can the United States government, under the leadership of the bizarro Trump, go? How low can it go?
Oh, it can go lower.
It can go lower.
Let's go to John. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I made up a joke. Do you want to hear it?
As long as it isn't obscene.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of like a George Carlin type of joke. All right, here it goes. What's the difference between having sex with Donald Trump and going and getting a flu shot?
Getting a what?
A flu shot.
A flu shot. Okay.
Oh,
what's the difference?
The nurse warns you when you're about to feel a small prick.
All right. Thank you for that.
All right, have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
501-831-8187.
Don't lose it, Abe. This is your moment.
It's not my moment. You could it's be a listener's star. Moment. It's a listener's moment, and right now they're falling down on the job.
Yeah, really. Come on. Yeah, come on, people. Get serious.
All right. I'm trying to think of another precedent for this.
For which?
A cabinet officer on an unofficial business abroad.
Yeah.
Learning about their dismissal. Basically over the news.
Well, I think he's a little afraid of Tillerson. I think he's a little scared of him, Trump is. So if he's away, it's easier to get rid of him.
Why would Trump be afraid of Tillerson, do you think?
Because Tillerson is actually powerful.
In what way? How is he more powerful than the President of the United States?
Well, now there's a question of power, interestingly enough. It's hard to say, except that Tillerson represents the established capitalist system.
Yeah.
And Trump is just a wild card.
Yeah, he's as an oil guy.
Trump is an extremely sleazy guy. And Tillerson knows that.
So Tillerson, yes, he's part of the capitalist establishment. He's pretty much at the top of the pyramid.
He's an oil guy.
Yeah, but what does he have on the freaking President of the United States? I don't understand that. Trump just feels intimidated by him?
Yeah.
That he can't
intimidated by him.
He can't do his alpha dog thing with Tillerson
right.
in the room?
Right. Tillerson just looks at him and says, what, you little puppy? You know, I mean, come on. This is an example of a person possessing legitimate, in our society, power, kind of existing in contrast to the guy who faked it all the way to the presidency.
I see.
I think that's real.
But still, a neutral observer...
A neutral observer yes.
might conclude that a firing carried out in such a way is indicative of an underlying lack of organization within the American federal government.
And that's new?
No, it's not new. But this is, you know, we talk about a lot about the difference between American hard power and soft power. Right. It's things like this that eat away at that soft power, that prestige and gravitas that the United States has enjoyed in the international community for a long time. Now, we can argue all day long about whether that is deserved, and we have, but nevertheless, there it is. But it's this type of thing that corrodes that.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, this is a guy, the president, who is absolutely, absolutely uncomfortable with and unable to deal with legitimate power. And he has no historical awareness. He has no economic awareness. He has no social awareness. He is an accident of history, and hopefully an accident that will soon be over. But I don't know. We got a Republican Party who is more interested in supporting this jerk and supporting their sort of weird policies than it is in the truth. Just recently, the group looking into the election and the Russian influence therein on the Republican side just wrote their document, I don't know, 100 pages, maybe more, in which they say, well, you know, there was no collusion, but there was influence. Now, there's an interesting difference.
What's the interesting difference?
I don't know. It's interesting.
You think they're splitting hairs?
I think they got a microscope working on it.
Yeah, no collusion, but there was influence. I'm not certain. Is that a distinction without a difference?
That's yes. What I'm getting at. I think so.
Oh, okay.
I think so. I think the Republican Party is no longer the Republican Party, which I used to disagree with on ideological grounds way back and you know, had good arguments about. This new Republican Party is racist, sexist, denying facts.
The Republican Party's always been racist and sexist.
Yeah. Well, but it was nicer.
It was nicer.
Okay.
At least it was polite.
It was polite, and it had gravitas.
It's like a dignified white Southern woman saying, oh, bless your heart, when you know she means anything but bless your heart.
Who's this woman?
No, okay, oh, come on. Okay. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I got to say something here. We cleared the board for our callers to drive the narrative today.
They're not doing it.
They're not doing it. So all of you out there who complain that Joe and I talk too much, we're not going to listen to you anymore.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot.
We're going to talk all the time.
We're going to talk a lot. We're going to talk about nothing. We're going to be rude and gross and absurd and stupid until you begin to be smart with us. New rules.
503-231-8187.
Yeah. And in fact, it is part of the challenge of this station, unlike a commercial talk radio station, which will have 6 or 7 or 10 lines, we got one. So maybe we're all boxed up and like a food package, and we are waiting for people to get online. I don't know.
Maybe we are.
That could be a technical issue.
It could very well be a technical issue.
Oh, we could be anxious. We could just be unreasonably anxious. We have a psychodynamic here.
Would anyone ever accuse you of being unreasonably anxious, Joe?
Me? No, I am not.
I thought your entire life was conducted in a state of unreasonable anxiety.
No, not unreasonable. Everything I really feared is starting to happen. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like omniscient. You feel like I should not have had these bad thoughts and bad analysis, not bad analysis, but bad thinking about things, because having done that has moved the great God, whoever she is, to make it come true. And that gives me a disproportionate power, by the way.
I see. So all of your darkest fears are coming to be realized.
Well, not all of them yet. We haven't had concentration camps.
No. No. Thank
no.
goodness.
We now have Putin, Russia, using powerful new nerve agents to poison people in England. And that seems to be a violation of the NATO accords and so on. So what's England going to do about it? Huh? Huh? Nothing, I don't think.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean,
disorder rules at the highest levels of where we have critical standards well established in the so-called Western canon.
Hmm. Now, see, you say all your worst fears are being realized.
Well, not all of them.
Okay, I know. No, that's just a rhetorical device.
I mean, it could be a nuclear holocaust, or it could be a big comet. You know, go ahead.
See, I look back on the last Bush administration, right? That's when I really felt like all my worst fears were coming to pass.
Little did you know.
We had a very smart, very motivated, very militant and nationalistic Republican faction essentially take over.
Yes.
And move us onto a new imperialist path. And they really seemed like they were on the brink of putting their grand evil plan into motion.
Well, you mean the Cheney world?
Right. You remember the Project for a New American Century that we talked about on the show?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
See, to me, that felt like they were really reaching for the brass ring there.
Uh-huh.
The Trump administration feels like...
The brass handcuffs.
The brass handcuffs. The Trump administration doesn't feel anywhere close to that smart or sophisticated to me. They feel like they just stumbled in the office, and now they're just kind of willy-nilly knocking stuff over.
Well, the really sad thing is that probably about 30% of the American people who vote, these are the voters, don't know anything, and they just vote on a kind of a angry whim.
Yeah, they were smarter back in the Bush administration.
Well, were they?
Well, I think they were. Just compare the two.
Well, the choices were better.
Imagine
right now, my saying the Bushes were better choice.
No. Imagine if you will, if there was a Cheney-like figure in a high position in the Trump administration, if they had even an ounce of competence, think of how much worse things would be.
Well, you're right. So I'm happy then. Let's go to the phones.
Larry's next.
Hey, fellas. Good show, as usual. You know, Roger, you ever heard of Roger Stone?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, well, Roger Stone, Roger Ailes, those guys all came out of the Nixon administration, basically. And there was a time when Donald Trump was on Dick Cavett, and Nixon, Pat and Dick Nixon saw him, and Richard Nixon wrote Trump a letter following the interview with Dick Cavett saying that he thought... he would make a good politician, and that Pat Nixon saw him, and she really had a good judgment and character, and that Trump would make a good president. And Trump has this letter on his wall, either at home or wherever the hell he keeps it. But the point is, what I want to say is, I think Trump is Nixon's curse to us all.
I think that's a good analysis in a metaphysical sense.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, man.
It's bad, but you guys keep going and keep up the good work.
All right.
Trump is Nixon's curse from beyond the grave.
Yes.
I like that.
Which makes it metaphysical, you know.
Yeah, right. Who's next? Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's Mike. And can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to sort of called you a little bit on normalizing Rex Tillerson, you know, as being the epitome of the capitalist system, which we know is kind of a criminal enterprise. But I think that, you know, you have to remember that Tillerson was instrumental and continued the policy of hiding the fact that climate change is was known about since the 50s and you know, hidden from the public, and climate denialism, you know, was born there, you know. And I think that, you know, we should call Tillerson what he is. The fact that he made it to the top and stayed there, you know, was through sort of a criminal tobacco industry kind of, you know, subterfuge.
You mean in a similar way in which people are being poisoned, he is operating in a world of poisoning?
Well, yeah, I just mean that he is, you know, he's the head of an enterprise that has basically conspired to destroy the planet, and they can't stop. They won't stop. So I just think we ought to not give him too much credit just because he looks good on TV and he can talk, you know, and you know, and pronounce things, you know, well. And,
better than an ape. You know, he can talk. What? Go ahead.
Right. The other thing I was, just let me say one more thing. You know, Joe, when you were talking, not Joe, Abe, when you were talking about the new George Bush imperialism,
yeah,
you know, the new imperialist path, you know, I was listening to Stephen Kinzer on the radio yesterday talking about the history of U.S. imperialism, and I think that, you know, we shouldn't like, you know, we should really keep in mind that American imperialism has been, like, underway with a vengeance for at least 125 years.
Well, I give it more than that. I mean, look, when the English arrived, the first thing they did was steal the food of the Native Americans, who already had been poisoned by germs that they were not familiar with by earlier arrivals. I mean, you know, it's a bad deal.
Yeah,
for
well,
people.
He makes the distinction that, you know, North American imperialism is one thing, but by heading, you know, there was a decision made, you know, in the 1890s to decide that we were going to go international.
Yes.
And that was Kinzer's point, is that, you know, once we had consolidated the North American continent, you know, in our own image, so to speak, you know, and done all the
well, and the Monroe Doctrine and so on. Yeah.
We decided to move on and take over the Philippines and Cuba and everything else. And that's what we have today. And so that whole argument about, you know, people interfering in our elections is laughable. Absolutely laughable.
Well,
so,
I'm
anyway,
not sure. Yeah, good. Thanks for the call.
I think that the Kinzer book is called True Flag, which I intend to get and read.
So, okay.
Anyway, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. But I have to comment on this a little bit. There has always been, in my sense of the overarching pattern of history of the United States, in fact, an imperially interested power. We, for example, for petty and grand reasons, attacked Mexico and took a third of Mexico and put it in the United States in a war called the Mexican War with no real justification. And we did that for two reasons. Number one, the territory was potentially very rich for all kinds of uses, mainly farming. But it also meant the extension of slavery and the confirmation of slavery through the extension of the of King Cotton. Mm-hmm. So really, yes, the call is right that we have always had this pattern. What's different about this is it's cuckooer.
Yeah.
It's simply crazier.
Yeah, it is. And really, our entire westward expansion is one long imperialist, bloody imperialist saga.
Absolutely.
Of displacing and exterminating native peoples.
Right. And of course, the greatest of those crimes, I still think, is probably slavery.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, so,
oh,
you
absolutely.
Know, we're not the good guys in history.
No. In fact, listeners, I challenge you to point to a period in American history where we were not embarked upon an imperialist project of some kind.
Well, I can do that.
Let's let our listeners do it.
What?
Let's let our listeners do it.
Okay.
Joe, you're next.
Yeah, I can't think of one either. But I think a reason you haven't had a lot of calls is because everybody's frozen in terror.
Really?
Like, Yes. tell, as creepy as it is, Tillerman was the last voice of sanity as far as going to war with Iran or North Korea. And with him out and the new sycophants in, I think everybody's just frozen in place.
Well, you may be right in a way. Psychologically, people who are thoughtful are really scared. And see no, maybe many of them see no hope in the situation. Having one of the two major parties absolutely be traitorous to the ideals, the purported ideals of the nation state, is very weird. And then on top of that, having a president who clearly wants to follow the Saudi dictates to make war on Iran, which is a very dangerous thing to do and evil, and in fact supports Saudi Arabia, which is really a nasty place in governing terms. I mean, you know, it's just extremely creepy. And when you have Vladimir Putin on television, on NBC, essentially saying, well, no, all these Russians who've been indicted aren't really Russians except in their nationhood, and then searching around and ending up blaming, among many others, by the way, the Jews. There's an old joke, and I'm going to tell it, even though probably it's too old. Okay, an older Jewish man is walking down the street. The Nazis have taken over. They grab him. They rough him up. They're smacking him and so on and saying, well, you tell us, aren't the Jews to blame? They're blamed for everything. Aren't they? Aren't they? And the old guy, I mean, he has no real strength in the situation. He says, well, yeah, it's the Jews and the bicyclists.
Yeah, and today it's the Mexicans and the Arabs.
Exactly. It's the Jews and the bicyclists. And the big Nazi guy says, why the bicyclists? And the Jewish guy, last brave act, why the Jews? Okay, this is the place we're at again.
Yes.
And Putin is the friend, the lover, in a metaphysical sense, of the President of the United States, who loves people who are dictators. So it's bad. It's really bad.
It is. I don't see any way out.
Well, it's do. I think that the American people are going to have to. I think it's possible, and it probably even, that people will wake up, and regardless of Democrat or Republican or any of those other signifiers, what will really happen is that we will, in the next election, get rid of this Congress and begin to reconstruct an America which is still going to be an imperialist power. It's still going to be an inequitable society and so on, but it'll be more rationally so. And the problem right now is we have a crazy person, truly crazy person, in charge. And it's not survivable.
Well, tomorrow the children are going to be in the streets and closing down the schools for 7 minutes. And I'm not a religious person by any means, but I keep thinking of that verse in the Bible that says, and a child shall lead the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's the way out.
Well, I do think that one of the most interesting things that has happened is that young people have said enough with the silly gun thing. And I think that that's going to have a long-term effect. And if it doesn't make change now, it will make change someday. But thank you for the call.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're right. It is extraordinary.
Yeah.
This anti-gun movement now being fronted by teenagers.
Yeah.
Who have said enough about shooting up our schools already.
Well, you know, I my 357 is well ensconced in my brain. I don't have one.
All right, moving on.
Go
ahead. Who's next? Barry, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I hope.
You hope it's morning?
I was surprised about the fellow that was not allowed to come on the air at KABU. This was Friday.
I know nothing about it. Let me be clear. Abe and I come in here. We do a show. We leave. We are very little. We have very little involvement with the management or direction of the station. Really, we appreciate the tolerance that allows us to be here. But in terms of what happens here when we're not on air, hey, who knows?
Okay. Well, this is what I want to talk about, if it's all right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. John Scheck, I guess, the beloved community, something like that, he was going to have somebody on talk about the fall of the World Trade Center, and there's so many people that called into KABU to get that person off the air that that person was not allowed to come on.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I can't comment on that because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, likewise.
I mean, so I'm totally ignorant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, then let me give you the name of a book again. I'm running up against a mental block. Let's see. The fall of the got a mental block.
Well,
hello?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen, I have a mental block too. I'm going to while you think of that, I'm going to let you go and get to the next person. We're actually starting to get a lot of people. Who do we have now?
Holly.
Holly.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just commenting on the last caller. Yes, he should have been more prepared. As a listener, I am more than willing to hear theories about 9/11. I know it's somewhat of a quagmire for the host, but I would like to hear more about it in general. I still think it's quite unresolved. And then I wanted to say that there's a talk show host who refers to Trump as Resident Rump, which is now my favorite.
Resident Rump?
Yes.
You mean like a bad behind?
Yeah, which is my favorite term now for the president. And my dilemma always in an administration like this, it happened with Bush, is, okay, we have a lot of protests. We have some great young people out there making themselves heard. I love all that, but what can I do other than, you know, contacting my congresspeople and senators who, in our case, are pretty much on board with our lefty philosophy? What can I do to resist that's not going to end up with a jail sentence? Do you guys have any comments on that?
Yeah, there's a lot you can do. Writing to your congressperson and your senator, that's a wonderful thing, and I encourage you to do that early and often. And don't stop there. Write to congresspeople from districts across the country on matters of import to you. Secondly, get involved with a voter registration effort. One of the Trump cards, if you'll pardon the expression, rump cards, that the GOP is going to play during this midterm election is voter suppression. It's no secret. Everybody knows that it's coming. This will now be the second major election without the full protections of the Voting Rights Act. So there are voter registration efforts going on all over the country. A quick Google search will connect you with them. And there are also other organizations out there who are committed to putting bodies on the ground on election night to counter attempts at voter suppression. And you can get involved with those organizations as well. So those are just a couple of suggestions off the top of my head.
Those are good suggestions. I want to make another point about elections. Many countries, high-tech, competent countries, have discovered that paper ballots work, that they're a physical object, they get in a box, you count them, and they work. Why is it that the United States has more and more relied on technologies which can be hacked? And the answer to that is because they can.
Yeah. Okay, one question about writing to congresspeople in other states or mm-hmm. contacting them. Are they really going to care if it's somebody that isn't voting for them?
Well, if it's enough people, it's going to make them nervous. Think about it that way.
The answer to that is yes and no. They may be inclined to disregard your opinion because you're not from his or her district, but there can accrue this critical mass of emails or phone calls enough to get somebody's attention on an issue.
You know, it's important to understand that we all of us cannot know where the tipping point is. There has been historically big surprises politically that no one really thought would happen, you know. Now, to counter that, to argue that things are really bad, of course, is to point out that the great anti-war movement that took place in my youth to fight the war in Vietnam really didn't end the war in Vietnam. The Vietnamese ended the war in Vietnam. So, Something happened.
Yeah, but great call and very good question.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on alternative radio, author and activist Joe Allen revisits one of the major atrocities of the 20th century, the war in Vietnam.
Ah, yes.
At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage in studio, DMA welcomes performers from a world premiere dance piece entitled Hedda G- Gabler.
It's a play by Strindberg, I think.
Oh, all right then. Hedda Gabler at the Northwest Dance Project. At 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Galavan interviews Jess Perlitz and Joel W. Fisher about their shows at the Hoffman Gallery. All this and more coming up today on KBOO. You know, if you're not a member, you can do that anytime.
Not a member, you don't understand what's going on.
Go to kboo.fm, click on the donate button. Also, we just successfully completed KBOO's very first Kickstarter project.
Yeah, it worked. To my absolute Luddite amazement, it worked.
Yeah, so that was wonderful, and thank you to everybody who supported that effort.
Yeah, it's much better than my or Abe's begging you for money constantly for a week.
Yeah, it is better. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Ben. You're next.
Good morning. Yeah, Joe was having a hard time articulating the Republican Party justified. Could it be that the Republican Party at base has become a cult?
Pretty big
maybe
cult.
Even further.
You know, it's like saying Christianity is a cult. You know, it's big.
But even so, you have these, they just follow this guy mindlessly and blindly. And now we have another sycophant in the as Secretary of State, and it's very obviously disturbing. You talked about having this election in 2018. Do you think necessarily that somebody like Trump, because of the things he's actually said, do you think he's going to relinquish power just like that?
Well, first of all, 18. That doesn't get rid of him as president. It gets rid of him as a powerful leader with a party behind him that can make law. And I don't know the answer. I mean, I don't know how crazy Trump is. I don't know the limits of his perception of his power. So answer that. Pardon me?
But it's also a party that is blind with this guy. So it's not just Trump's power. He's lining up people to execute that power. And suspending the election because they create an event of some kind, and they're not going to just hand over the keys to the car to somebody else.
Okay, there is an important point here that is existential in its significance. Don't want to get too fancy, but that's the case. You can't stop struggling to make things better. You can't know the tipping point. And you can't indulge in the serious sin of despair, because that means walking away from a situation where you still have, as a citizen, a great deal of responsibility. So I can't answer how things will go in 18. I can't answer how they'll go in 20. But I can know that every bit of objection, every bit of struggle against that will mitigate the terribleness to come. That's all I can say.
And more than that, I think there's an internal bonus, too, in that there... You know, there's joy in the struggle, right?
Yeah.
There's fulfillment in knowing that you are working, that you're expending your human energy on this planet, trying to nudge us towards enlightenment. And it may sound trite, but it's true.
No, I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, this guy has created a situation where we have, and I see it all, I hear it all the time, people say, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to see it. This constant barrage, exhausting, of just distraction, mindless tabloid distraction, and people are just—it's just attrition. People are falling off, and what you're saying is absolutely right. But I think we're in a completely unique situation, and people are being bludgeoned every hour of the day by these absurdities and these tabloid, vacuousness and. The ability of people engage like that when they're saying in mass, they're saying, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to see it, I don't want to hear it.
Well, I think
Yeah,
I think you're right in a way. I mean, look at the thing of Stormy Daniels and the disgusting behavior of Trump in context of sexism and so on. The fact of the matter is that's an easy to grab and understand issue. Pardon me the word grab here. It's really easy to understand it. So. Yep. We will gravitate toward that. It's pardon the expression, sexy, not meaning sexual, but, exciting. And the fact of the matter is that it's so easy to understand by anyone. And then what's amazing to me, by the way, is that the fundamentalist Christian communities actually are willing to forgive this guy every single sin. So, you know, there's apparently no core to any of the belief systems.
Hence my, proposing this a cult, because these people just line up behind this guy mindlessly, and they just ignore all these things from the past, these moral and ethical boundaries from the past. They just throw them aside. You just said it yourself, and they just mindlessly follow this guy.
Well, I agree.
That's a cult. I think that might come under the definition of a cult.
Yeah, I think I won't disagree with you. I think that it's too big.
I don't want to get too.
Yeah,
far.
We don't need to get into that. But I agree.
Gertrude Stein once said, "I you're entirely right, but I disagree."
Okay, listen. Thanks very much for the call.
That was an excellent call. Why do I say it's not necessarily a cult? Well, because I think a cult has overtly religious overtones to it. There's no ritual worship of Trump going on here. There's no set of dogma and doctrine.
I think there is dogma and doctrine.
I think what this is, rather than a cult, is just a deeply embedded sense of tribal identity. Meaning Trump is their guy, the conservatives' guy, the red state right-wing guy. And whatever he does,
The
white guy's guy. And whatever he does, it's going to be okay because he's their guy. That's why this never-ending train of hypocrisy that is paraded by us every day. You know, you look at the Republican Party now, I look at them and I say, well, you guys, you can never again claim the mantle of family values ever, ever again, because look at the guy who's your champion right now. You remember when Obama had an affair with a porn star and then bought her silence? You remember that?
No.
That was awesome. You don't remember that?
That. I don't think that happened.
Yeah, do you remember when...
I think his wife would slap him offside the head.
Do you remember when employee after employee pled guilty to federal charges under Obama?
No, never.
That was awesome.
No.
You don't? Why? Because it didn't happen.
Oh!
But all this is happening to Trump, and they don't care because he's their guy. But you know what? The hypocrisy doesn't matter, because as soon as Trump is out of office, and as soon as the Democrats or whoever else run somebody for president, out are going to come the long knives from the right, and all sorts of criticism is going to be leveled at this person based on his or her foibles and past misdeeds, and all this family value stuff is going to come roaring back, and they're going to stare us dead in the eye, and they're not going to give a damn that we're calling them hypocrites, because all they care about is power. All they care about is winning. The object of power is power. So we can call them hypocrites till we're blue in the face, but it doesn't matter.
Well, getting blue in the face always matters, because it kind of implies the blood ain't circulating.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Boris, good morning.
Good morning. I have a suggestion for the title of your show.
Okay.
Rachel Maddow Playback Show.
Why? Oh. Why? Because we're taking her line?
Because you routinely parrot the same kind of narrative that I can hear on MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS.
Well, why blame Rachel Maddow then? It seems like it's what the reporting of the news world is.
Okay. Of what I'm talking about.
All right, well, I have two things to say that. First, I think it's demonstrably false. Secondly, Rachel Maddow, I don't watch her frequently, but I occasionally do.
I do. I like her.
She aspires to a level of intellectual rigor and journalistic integrity that I don't think is matched anywhere else on the TV. Now, you can you can take or leave Rachel Maddow. But if you're going to compare our show to a television talk show host, we could do a hell of a lot worse than Rachel Maddow, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. Well, and if you don't like this show, disagree. You can always turn it off. Thank you for the call. Who's next? Barry, good morning.
Hello. Hi. This time I am prepared.
All right.
The War on Terror, The Plot to Rule the Middle East by Christopher Bolin.
Ah, okay.
The book before it was Solving 9/11. The deception that changed the world, and it's amazing.
Okay, I appreciate those those titles and that input, and I've read a lot of that stuff. I really think that what happened on 9/11 is pretty simple. There's complex, intricate aspects to it, but it wasn't a vast plot by some obscure effort. It was in fact an attack by the Saudis in their representation of their religion, and it was in fact a devastating act of cowardice, and it is very illustrative of the kinds of warfare that is being conducted today. But Barry, I understand that
But you didn't read this book, though.
Well, it doesn't. Look, let's be clear about this. There's not going to be any actual credible evidence that it is anything other than what it is. It's just not.
You said credible evidence. Evidence.
Yeah.
Solving 9/11, it goes into this in detail.
Okay, Barry, what for example is different than what I just said?
I mean, just as an analogy, like looking at the roots of the tree, and then you look at the dendrites that come off of the roots.
No, that's all analogy. I want to know a specific example of something that is asserted in what happened that is not true.
Terrorism in the Israeli military, how that developed the Knesset party, all of those people were in the terrorism of Israel and
that proves what? Aside from the argument about whether or not that is a thing, that proves what about 9/11?
It's not anything about proving. It's just a taboo that would take anybody on to hear anything, especially those that don't get the ear that they should. Those people, to turn someone off of that talk show Friday, I think it was.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
I know nothing about that.
Okay, well, so many people, I got tossed out by this fellow at the desk when I was in there. Friday or Saturday, I went in to talk about it. But he was going to talk about the World Trade Center, and this book deals with it in depth, how it.
Yeah, but Barry, I'm asking you a much more fundamental question. Not how was someone treated on Friday, not some kind of ornate plots by the Israelis or the this or the that. All that stuff may or may not, and I don't think it is true, but may or may not be true. The thing that I'm asking you is, how is the description of what happened with those airplanes at that time different than what we are understanding about it? Because whatever else was going on... Now, listen, Barry, this is important. Whatever else that was going on, we know that a plane hit a Pentagon. We know that a plane was forced to crash by the passengers. And we know that two planes hit the World Trade Center. That's a fact. And we know the people who did it were, in fact, apparently very much religiously motivated and very much supportive of a kind of Islam that is characteristic of Saudi Arabia. That's what we know.
Uh-huh. Yes, well, thermite was what brought the World Trade Center down, and this has been proved. And someone
thermite?
That wanted to.
Hey, Barry, I'm gonna have to let you go because I'm not into the bug theory.
No, and we could circle the drain for the rest of the show talking about 9/11. And I don't want to go.
Yeah, I really do think that there's a weird quality in a lot of people who might be leftists or might be just conspiracists to try to find a reason for any event different than the reason that is presented. Now, there are lies, there are distortions, there are evil acts committed in the name of government or in the name of a publicity stunt or whatever. But this is really pretty clear stuff. And I can remember when somebody, I can't remember who was speaking, in fact, you were there, the Canadian woman, good God, I'm losing my memory. Anyway, she was speaking at the Unitarian Church, and suddenly this bunch of people marched in with their big signs and for like 15, 20 minutes held up the talk that she was giving to yell that there must be truth about 9/11. And hey, I don't believe that is a spontaneous movement. I think there's something else going on there. But let's not spend time on that.
You have a conspiracy theory of your own.
I do.
That's right. All right, Susan writes in to the Facebook page. She's got a number of questions, so I'll take them in order.
Okay.
She writes, I love your show. I listen every week. However, I sometimes wonder how you see yourselves and whether on occasion you strive more for entertainment than for the exchange of ideas.
Absolutely.
Yes, we do. This is talk radio. I think it needs to be both entertaining and informative. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe you and I are just hams by nature. I don't know.
Well, I know I'm absolutely out there, you know.
But do we strive more to be entertained or to be entertaining than to exchange ideas? I don't know. I think we strive for a nice mix of the two.
No, and in fact, I think we're a little boring because we're so much into ideas.
Admittedly, Susan continues, I am older and my age affects my views. However, as a regular listener, I am occasionally uncomfortable. I am uncomfortable when you make fun of or put down callers who disagree with you or with whom you disagree. Isn't the point of your program the exchange of ideas? Now, you know, we do sometimes disparage people who call if we find their takes particularly egregious.
Or untrue.
Or untrue. I think Susan is just asking us to be a little nicer here, which is probably advice we could take to heart.
No, I'm not going to take it.
No, you're not? Okay.
No, I'm a mean guy by nature.
All right, she continues. I am uncomfortable when you disparage religion. For example, some religions more than others. I recall one discussion where Native American beliefs were lauded, but Christian sects were bashed. That felt a bit hypocritical. All religions have their strengths and their shortcomings. Painting with such a broad brush seems beneath you.
I think that's a good criticism.
Okay. Yes and no. Conventional wisdom usually demands that to be polite, you must grant to someone's religious beliefs a certain deference and respect because they are deeply held beliefs. And I subscribe to that for the most part. However, when those beliefs start dictating public policy or legislation, then I have a big, big problem.
And I agree with you.
Okay. Now, as far as comparing one religion to another, I don't want to even go there. Okay. Susan continues, I am uncomfortable when you call people in office names. To a point, it is funny, but occasionally it goes over the line. Okay, fair enough. It is because I enjoy
Wait a minute. No, I like to call them names. They are public servants and they are ill-serving. And I like to call them the kind of horrors that they are.
Yeah, I think there's some merit to that, too. I'm just saying, in general, the thrust of Susan's comment seems to be just be nicer, Abe and Joe. But you make a very good point, Joe. I think when you campaign for public office, you are putting yourself out there for commentary, whether positive or negative.
Right.
Up to and including the occasional name calling. Right?
Eh,
I guess. I think she's just saying, dial it back.
Wants us to be more fair, and that's not where I'm at.
Okay. And she concludes, it is because I enjoy your show so much that I proffer these queries. I will keep listening no matter what you say.
Aha!
However,
My point!
I am just letting you know from time to time, I am made to feel uncomfortable as a listener.
I appreciate the problem of discomfort in what we say. I have to be clear here in that what I'm doing with this show, this is not like, until I retired, I taught in the universities and so on. I think that what our main function is to have a hefty mix of fact and humor in a context that keeps people listening and enables them to be engaged in a struggle. So, yeah, there is a weighting in favor of resistance and in favor of certain other things and against certain kinds of extremes of the right that have dominated American politics for quite a while now. So I don't feel constrained to be a nice guy. I have to have certain limits, which I would not have to have if we weren't a nonprofit. And therefore, I think I'm really very, very conservative.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
we strive to be both entertaining and informative.
Not to lie. We try not to lie.
We also try to present information in such a way as to provoke a response from our listeners. Which it seems to do. So, yes, we do sometimes say things that are deliberately provocative. We do sometimes crack jokes in the hopes that they will stimulate a dialogue with our listeners.
Right.
We do all these things. And I think that's just part of the gig.
And I have to say that there's a term in newspaper business called the silly season. Mm-hmm. Which is the dog days of summer when there's traditionally in the old days not a lot of news, so they have stupid stories. Well, I truly think that our responsibility is to make clear the absurdity of the situation we're in. And
the way we do that, it
does involve humor.
Yes, it is part of our duty to point out the absurdity of the situation. And I believe that humor is an essential tool for coping with the absurdity and with the despair that you mentioned earlier that's lurking in the background all the time.
Right.
You got to laugh. You got to.
And which is why I told the Jew story.
Right, the Jew story.
Right. Why the Jews? Why the gypsies? Why the blacks? Why the Native Americans? Why? I mean, come on. We are a society that likes to label and blame. And if I'm going to label and blame, I'm going to label and blame creatures of the ruling class because they have power and seem to do bad things.
Agreed. And those with power are those who must be held to account.
Exactly.
For how they exercise.
Exactly.
It. Right. Or how they fail to exercise. It.
Okay.
I think that pretty much brings us to the
end
of the show.
Yeah, we're over it. I'm sorry a lot of you wanted to get in, and we'll try to get you another time. This was fun. I think this kind of show we should do more often.
Yeah.
I really do. You don't like that so much. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see.
It was fun. I did have a good time.
Anyway, listen, I want to thank you all for listening. I hope we're not too offensive. But you know what? This is free radio.
We'll back at you next week. Thanks for tuning in.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay.
KBOO makes a positive difference in all our lives. Thank you for supporting this effort to keep Portland vital and engaged. Thank you for keeping Portland radical. And thank you for supporting KBOO.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for keeping KBOO fierce, vital, and independent, accountable to no one but you, the community.
Thank you.
Thanks for supporting KBOO.
Thank you. Thank you so much for donating to KBOO's Kickstarter to help make a city of media makers.
Thank you.